blessing on.
Hear again the word of the Lord. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear child of God, welcome to his service. Today you have been born from above. You have received the Holy Spirit, and most importantly of all, you have received God's name upon your forehead and upon your heart. You have been brought into the family of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father has now begotten you from above. The Son has now died and rose for you. And the Holy Spirit has descended upon you and set you apart as his own precious possession. Sonship in the kingdom of God is yours now. You are paid for. You have been buried with Christ, and you have been raised with him. This water is a sign and seal of God's grace and mercy and love for you. For by water, God once destroyed the world in the days of Noah, and he preserved 8 souls through those waters, Noah and his family. It was God's judgment against the whole world. And yet, for you and me and all of us, it was the power of God unto salvation. For as in the days of Noah, God saved a people by his word. In those days, he told Noah, I will bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And Noah believed God's word, and in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That is to say, God spoke, Noah believed, and God saved him and declared him righteous according to his plentiful grace. Now, grace is a beautiful word, and it's the word for us today. It is God's unmerited love and favor. And most especially of all, it is a gift. It's something that is given, not something that is earned or merited or deserved. It's entirely undeserved. But we'll have to come back to grace in a moment, Donald, because first we need to define a different word for you so that we can all comprehend the marvelous grace of God that you have been given. The first word we must understand, then, is the word sin. To sin is to break God's word and his commandments. See, he commands us by his law to do certain things and to not do other things. They are rules for being God's creatures. They're the way that God created the world to work. And in the beginning, it worked marvelously. Until that day that our first parents, Adam and Eve, broke God's word. They rejected it, and in their disobedience, they brought consequences, not just for themselves, but for the whole world. You and me and all of us. You see, Adam, he wasn't just any old man. He was our head, our representative. All of humanity reduced to one person. And what did he do? He rebelled. He sinned. And he broke God's commandments. And when Adam sinned, death entered the world. Not just for Adam and Eve, but for all of us, all of their children. And as St. Paul writes, and so death spread to all men, for in him all sinned. You see, as our head, Adam sinned, and you and I fell. We fell short of the glory of God. We fell short of His righteous demands. We disobeyed Him. All of us have broken God's law. All of us stand under His judgment, young and old alike. See, without you even having committed a sin yet, Donald, before your birth, you stood condemned by God for what your father Adam did. And this is where grace comes back. You see, in God's great love and mercy, in His grace, not because of anything you did, but because of His love, He chose you as His child. See, you and I deserved damnation, destruction, even from the womb. But that's not what God gave you. What God gave you was His precious gift that He sent one Christmas morning to the whole world. For on Christmas Day, a child was born to Mary, the fiancée of a man named Joseph. Now, that child wasn't Joseph's. They hadn't consummated their marriage yet. But the child was God's son. He was the one who, we will confess in the creed, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That child born on Christmas Day was born for you, Donald, that God might have mercy and grace on you. That child grew and grew, and one day, as a young man, he approached the Jordan River. His cousin, John the Baptist, was standing there by the waters, a man of priestly stock. And Mary's little lamb entered into the waters, those murky waters of the Jordan River. See, he was pure and innocent, clean, white as snow, when he entered into those waters. But as he exited those waters that day, he carried a heavy burden upon his shoulders. He carried the sin of the whole world. You see, this priest's son that stood by the water had anointed that child, that son of Mary. He had anointed him as the sacrifice, as the sin bearer. And from that day forward, he carried our sins. He became not only the sin bearer, but our new head, the second Adam. And for 3 years, he taught and taught all over Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. He healed many people, including the lepers we heard about in today's gospel lesson. And every time he taught, he proclaimed that the kingdom of God was here, that the reign of grace was approaching. And every healing that he performed was a foretaste of what it would be like, what it would mean to have Christ as our head and not Adam. What it would mean when our sins had been paid for and God was reconciled to us. At the end of these 3 years, Jesus entered into Jerusalem upon a donkey, a beast of burden. The crowds celebrated, but they didn't understand why he had come into the city of Jerusalem. You see, he came into that city carrying the weight of the sin of the whole world on his back. And he walked around Jerusalem that week, proclaiming the law against all those who were his enemies. See, there were people that did not want his grace and his unmerited favor. They wanted to be declared righteous and innocent by their own works. And his enemies, the haters of God's grace, and the evil serpent that first deceived Adam and Eve, they worked together. They schemed to get Jesus executed on false charges. And so then, on that Good Friday, the Son of God was hung upon a cross, kind of like the one we have here in the sanctuary, but a bit bigger and a whole lot rougher. It wasn't so pretty and smooth. It was made out of wood. And there upon the tree of the cross, Jesus hung, dying for your sins. There Jesus was baptized, drowned, not with God's love, but with God's wrath against all of our sin. He carried all of our sin to that cross so that he might suffer all of God's punishment for you. And for the 6 hours that he hung there, that is precisely what he did. He hung there as our sin bearer, as the sacrifice in our place. He experienced the full fire of God's righteous judgment. It washed over him. It covered him like a flood. Until finally Jesus spoke his last word from the cross. "It is finished." And Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit. On that Good Friday, the innocent Son of God died and was buried. Every Jew was busy doing nothing on that Sabbath the next day. His disciples grieved and they were terrified. The Roman soldiers stood guard at his tomb as they were commanded. His enemies gloated. And what did Jesus do? He was resting from all his work that he had done for your redemption. And in the morning after the Sabbath, on Sunday morning, there were a few women that had been his disciples. They went to the tomb, taking spices with them that they had prepared to properly bury him. But when they arrived, the tomb was empty. The Jews had asked that a rock be placed in front of the tomb and that Roman centurions be placed to guard it. They had heard him say one time that on the third day he'd rise from the dead after they tried to kill him. So they wanted to make sure there wasn't any surprises on that third day. But when the women came that morning, there weren't any Romans standing guard. The rock was moved away, and the body wasn't there. As they were pondering what in the world must have taken place that night, angels came. Angels spoke to them these beautiful words: "He is not here, but he has risen." The angels declared to the women and also to us that death has been defeated in Jesus Christ. Your sins have been paid for. You see, this Jesus who died and rose was delivered up for our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. You, dear child of God, are included in that very promise. Today, you and all of you are included in that. You find yourselves today in his divine service. You have heard his word. You have been baptized. You are his child, not because of anything you have done or earned or merited, but entirely because of his grace and unmerited favor. Remember, of yourself, all you have to say for yourself is Adam's sin and the sin you've added to that. But now Christ has died, and he is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And by his death, your sins are paid for. And by his resurrection, you are declared righteous and innocent in God's sight. Dear children of God, today God strengthens you with his words and with his grace. And today I want you to go forth with his promise that he spoke to you in holy baptism. You are my beloved Son, and with you I am well pleased. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen.